I want you to look there in Psalm 103 with me. We'll be in this whole chapter of the message. As you look in the screen behind me, it says, "Behold the blessings." I'm going to ask Rand, if you'll get in your place there. Appreciate it very much. Life is an odd thing, crazy thing. A lot of things happen in life. Life is a stage issue. Life has amazing stages, ups and downs. Life's a lot like a book. You know, you read a book, and there's a story there. There's a plot there. There's good chapters, there's bad chapters, there's intense chapters, there's exciting chapters, there's sad chapters. Finally, you come to the end of that. And God knew that. God knew that life was going to be a pretty amazing thing when he made Adam and Eve. Then he knew things were going to get complicated when sin entered. Thank you, Brother Mrs. Coons. Sin entered, really complicated things. Really put a big wrench in God's plan. Life would have been a whole lot easier, a lot more simple, but for sin. And so God teaches us some things in life, and he wants us to take blessings personal. If you look there in Psalm 103, it says here in verse number 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." I love that song. Remind me. We need to take that journey down and remember. Look at this. Look at verse number 5. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things." Good things like bacon. Amen. Can I get an amen right there? Like a Snickers bar or, amen, no. Good things. God gives us those things, and he wants us to be mindful of them. As I stand here today, I thought about how I went to bed in my home last night and woke up in the same home, and my dear brother Norris Bain is in the Bahamas now and has lost his home. Yeah. You know what's amazing about him? He's being grateful for the things that he still has because he's lost some things that we have today. Life is a lot like that, you know. It's hard to sometimes stand up and say, hey, as Americans, we have no excuse. We should be the happiest people on the planet. We should be praising God the most. But then if you go to Ecuador with me, in some churches that I've preached down there, or even the Bahamas, or the Philippines, where the average Filipino makes $2 to $7 a day, they will tell you, oh, no, we're happy, we're blessed, we're thankful, too, because they have learned to be thankful for his benefits. Everybody has different benefits today. Everybody has different stages of life they're going through. Some of us today have just had a new child recently. Some of us had a new grandchild. Some of us had to send our child to college. All of us go through different stages of life. And God is going to consistently remind us of his benefits. I'll never forget, several years ago, I was preaching in a very, very small country Christian school about 3 hours from here. And I remember driving 2-lane highway almost the whole trip and just drove and drove and drove. And I thought I was lost for sure. Finally showed up at this small church in a Christian school there. And I preached that morning and I did a cartwheel. And afterwards, I walked up to the foyer and the preacher was getting ready to take me out to lunch. And a lady in a wheelchair came up to me and goes, "Pastor, I just want to tell you, I always did cartwheels. I loved cartwheels, but I can't do them anymore. I was in a car accident several years ago, and I lost the use of my legs." But she goes, "You know what? God is good." Because the day before the car accident, she said, "God laid in my heart to go out to the park and do as many cartwheels as I could." And I don't know why. She said, "I did 30 or 40 cartwheels that day, and the next day I lost my legs." She said, "I'm thankful because once I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do when I see Jesus is to do cartwheels again." And as I walked away, I realized she was grateful for that day. God reminded her of things, and I walked away because I was grateful God still let me do them that day. You see, in all of our lives, it's not an issue of, should I feel bad about God's benefits for me today because somebody else doesn't have them? No, you should never feel that way, because what you have and somebody else doesn't have, it's made up for what they have that maybe you don't have. I have a very personal outlook on this. Because I'm going to ask my daughter to do a couple things. I'm going to ask her to play a tune, and I want you to guess the song. Go ahead, baby. Amazing Grace. Very good. Go ahead and play another one, baby. You knew that was going to be in there, huh? Victory in Jesus. You got another one? Put you on the spot. You can play a fun one. You have a Disney song up there? Just kidding. All right. To make up for Josh Slatel, he's mad at me right now. Just kidding. I love you, Josh. Has he got a pulse? All right. But anyway. All right. Go ahead, Rihanna. Did I say that? Wow. There you go. Praise him. Praise him. My mom and dad wouldn't be able to play that game. In fact, my mom and dad have never even heard their granddaughter play the piano. My dad doesn't even know what a piano sounds like. My dad was given hearing aids one time many, many years ago, and to try to do something. My dad is completely nerve dead in one ear, and the other ear has some activity, but he's what's considered profoundly deaf, which means the only thing he can really hear, but they don't really consider it hearing because it's more of a feeling, is a jet flying over close by, or the bark of a very large German shepherd in the same room so it can vibrate through the floor. But he actually wore the hearing aids for just a little while, and my dad said he could only handle it for a few days, and he got rid of them because he said, "I don't know how you hearing people live. This world is a noisy place." But my dad said, I'll never forget this. My dad said for the few moments he had that hearing aid, he said the most amazing sound to him on this planet was, and he tells a story all the time, somebody may have heard him tell it in sign language class, was the sound of a urinal flushing. My dad walked into the restroom with his hearing aids the first day, and he flushed a urinal and said, "Wow, that is fascinating." And my father stood there and just flushed it at one time after another, flushed and flushed and flushed. And he said men were coming in looking at him as if he had some problems. And they were beginning to talk to him. My dad was just waving him off and saying, "Go." And he just kept standing there flushing it, flushing. He was fascinated by the sound of a urinal. But when you've never heard the sound of a bird singing or your granddaughter singing, maybe that is something that is fascinating. You see, church, we live in a generation today where we are taught to forget his benefits, to forget the blessings, to complain because life's not treating us right, we as Americans today go out of our way to find a reason to be mad. This past week, quarterback Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, made a simple video promo that encouraged kids to bring their Bible to the public school. He said nothing about any political issues, but because the company that made the video has ties to political issues, he was immediately attacked and bombarded by people without even saying anything. And he said, "I didn't even know I was doing." That's how bad it's gotten in America. And as a born-again Christian today, I refuse to live that way. And it's easy by nature to fall into that trap. Do one more, Randy. Do another one. One more. I know you got it. One more. Do one of the youth choir specials. Oh, yeah, I love that one. You guys should know this one. What is it? What? What a Wonderful Name. Thank you, Randy. You may be seated. My dad, as many times you don't know, has sat there in the front row and asked and said, "Hey, son, does it sound beautiful?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, Dad, it's beautiful." But my dad would tell you he's thankful for his sight because he gets to watch his son play football this Thursday, or grandson, and he gets to watch his granddaughters play basketball through the years, and he gets to watch me sign to him in a little while I'm preaching. And then the blind person would come to you and say, "I don't have my sight, but I'm glad I can still hear." And a blind and deaf person is a people I've met. I've led several blind deaf people to Christ through the years. We'll be thankful that they can still communicate by putting their hands in my hands and having me sign and still understand. I've been able to lead 2 full-blooded Jewish deaf-blind men to Christ since I've been saved by them hands on my hands, sign language. How they understand that, it boggles my mind. But every time I walked away from those situations, I thought, wow, I'm thankful I can see. I'm thankful I can hear. I'm thankful I can, wow. We've become very good at missing out on the benefits. We live in America today. Today I want to encourage you to behold your personal benefits. Number one, I want you to behold life today. Life is a very simple thing. It's a simple gift, and yet it's so profound. I heard a statement the other day, it's so true. It said, human beings are the only creation on the planet that actually fear death. Because we've been taught from a very young age to value life. Sadly, that teaching has been taken away because of a country that endorses the murdering of innocent baby. But today, I'm not trying to get political today, and I don't want to today. I'm challenging us to realize how precious the gift of life is. The fact that we are breathing out, the fact that when we slept last night, we didn't even know, but our heart was working. Our heart never gets a vacation. Our heart never gets a break. Other parts of our body rest. Our feet might get a load off. Our knee joints get a little break. Our shoulder, even our mind, they say sometimes will go into a more quieter or sleep mode. But our heart consistently worked, and God made that heart to work, and it pumped blood through our body, and it kept us functioning, and it kept us alive, and it kept us breathing, and our lungs were working, and we were inhaling and exhaling. Some were snoring. I like the T-shirt I see today from Brother David back there. He says, "I don't snore. I'm dreaming I'm riding motorcycles." I like that one. That's pretty good. I mean, but some of us, how many have a snorer in their house, right? There's always a few that have a snorer in their house. And some of us have all these different, we don't even realize while we're sleeping, the experiences and the activities and the miracles that take place that God created us to do. Life is a precious thing. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction." I know that you can make that as a salvation application, but you understand that every day God gives us as a gift of life. We know that we have an appointment one day, and this statement has been changed this last year, which I like. You only live once. YOLO, you've heard that. A lot of people saying that's not true. You only die once. You get to live every day. I'm 44 years now and a week and a half year old, and I'm thankful that I've lived 44 years. I think it's a miracle that I've lived 44 years. I'm grateful. I was bothered last week that America made all these tragic news about Kevin Hart, an actor who got in a tragic car accident. Thank God he survived and he broke his back in three places, and this comedian may never walk again. But do you realize that five American soldiers died this last week? Five American soldiers died. But hardly anybody knew that. I'm simply saying we have been given the gift of life today. Every breath, take a breath right now and realize it's a gift from God. Realize that's a benefit that God has given to you and me. Realize the fact that you could walk in today and walk out today, and you could hold your Bible in your hand, and you could look across and see your husband or your wife. You can see your children in this building. You can enjoy hearing that special audio. Life is a benefit God gives us all the time. And someday, we'll take that last breath. Someday our heart will finally get tired and stop. But until then, it's a beautiful blessing. It's a wonderful benefit that God gives to us. Paulette, what do you say every Wednesday night in church for testimonies? I'm still here. Still here. Number two, I want you to notice this. Laughter. Laughter is a benefit God gives. Can I tell you something? America needs to laugh again. America needs to find reasons to laugh. Man, listen, this is why I wore this coat. That's part of the reason I knew that was point number two. Laugh at the coat, all right? I know it's a stupid coat, man. I doubt President Trump would wear this coat in a meeting with one of the world leaders tomorrow. But I am saying this, laugh today, church. We have got to find a reason to laugh again in America. Look at Psalm 103, verse number 5. "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, now rewarded us according to our iniquities." When you think about it, our life really is a comical thing. Our life is an issue thing, and God saves us from our own selves, and God blesses us in spite of ourselves. Sometimes all you can do is just laugh about it. You can just laugh that there's a God in heaven who is interested in this nobody. There's a God in heaven who loves this nobody. And God, sometimes when I think about how much he's invested in me and how he's blessed me, sometimes I cry, but sometimes I just gotta laugh. Can I tell you something about America needs again? We need to laugh at ourselves again. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. You got to find a reason to laugh. And let me say this. Let me tell you what the problem with America today. America has become too dependent on somebody else to make them laugh. You got to find reasons yourself to laugh. We always want these comedians to make us laugh, but the problem is when the comedians aren't around, we lose our laughter. You know, you can find a reason to laugh every day. I do every time I look in the mirror. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, listen, sometimes I look for opportunities throughout the day. Little things, silly things I do like that right there. That was a major Freudian slip to say Josh Slater right there. I did not mean to say that. That's something you laughed about. See, how come you laugh when I don't mean to be funny, but you never laugh when I mean to be funny? See, you just laughed at that right there. I'm simply saying we all have reasons to laugh. Find reasons to laugh. We live in a world that, boy, is so touchy-feely. I feel like if anybody's making fun of you, hey, listen, can I tell you something? If you need someone to make fun of today, make fun of me. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. And you probably won't even cover all the subjects I have issues with, right? Laugh today. Find a reason to laugh. Hey, be happy today. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. God's prescription medicine for us is so different than the world's. He says, find a reason to be happy. Find a reason to have joy. Find a reason to laugh. Why? Because life is too short and laughter is a benefit God gives to us. There's a time and a place to cry, but today the Lord laid on my heart to talk about laughing again. I love being around my family because we find reasons to laugh. And many times, the daddy has become the butt of the joke. People ask me all the time, with all your travels and all your preachings, how do you stay humble? I've got two daughters right now that are really good at keeping me humble. And my son has been recruited into that club too. They don't care about how many souls get saved when I preach at these conferences and camps, and they're not impressed by that. They sit around and look forward to daddy's slips from the pulpit. And then when we get in the car, that's one of the first things they say, daddy, you said this and that and that. And one of my daughters can quote some of my messages verbatim, and she preaches it better than I do nowadays. And we just laugh. They do care about souls being saved sometimes. But anyway, I mean, we just laugh and have a good time as a family. We make fun of you church members all the time, and it's awesome. We sit around and just laugh about you guys. Some of you guys are funny people. Several people have asked me this morning, did Kent George let you borrow that coat? I have no idea why people ask me that. They didn't ask if anybody else let me borrow this coat. I had four people on my, just from walking up here. Hey, is that Kent George's coat? I mean, why? See, laugh. Laughter is a benefit. Laugh. But we can laugh when they're little babies. We can laugh when they're toddlers. My twin nephews right now are a lot of fun. Boy, they make me laugh. And we like to torture them. My kids love being the older cousins because they like to torture their little cousins and make them cry. And in their crying, how many like to laugh because somebody else is suffering, right? Sometimes it's a blessing to do that. I know Nikki does. Nikki loves to laugh when people get hurt. And when they really get hurt, it's even more funny, right? But my kids right now, they're at the stage now where they like to make their cousins cry. And then they think it's funny. They start laughing. Can I get an amen right there, digging kids? What are you saying? Find a reason to laugh, church. We're so easily offended today. We're so touchy-feely today. We're so looking for a reason to be offended, so upset, so offended, so mad, so angry. I saw a meme, it's so true. The average American wakes up every morning and says, good morning, America. What can I be offended at today? Why do you want to live like that? Why do you want to live like that? Number one, bless you, life. Life is a benefit. Number two, laughter. Number three, I love this one. Think about things that are lasting. Look at verse number 11 of Psalm 103. I'm just about through. Y'all are doing great. Look at verse number 11. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, remember that we are dust. As for man, his days are as a grass and flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from, watch this, everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. You know, God gives us a lot of everlasting things, things that are lasting. Can I tell you, there's a lot of benefits that we get in life. You know, 401ks, retirement plans are temporary things. Vehicles are temporary things. Rust, houses, as my Bohemian friends can testify, are temporary things. Today, you really start to shift gears and go to a different level of Christianity when you realize, you focus on and you appreciate the lasting things. Salvation. Knowing you're going to see a loved one again, Jennifer. Knowing that. You don't have to wonder that. You know for sure. Brother Jason and I were texting this morning already. We texted him early this morning. I said, hey, I know today's the 80-year anniversary. And we both were talking. I said, man, can you believe it's been 8 years? He goes, yeah, but Josh feels like he just got there. There's a lot of truth to that. Lasting things. God's mercy is lasting. God's forgiveness is lasting. God's joy is lasting. God's compassion upon us is lasting. God's word is lasting. Hey, God gives us an eternal lasting soul. And thank God if you're saved by the grace of God today. It is a lasting soul. It is not a temporal thing. It is a thing of eternity. Hey, I'm thankful for the temporal things. I'm thankful for the clothes I have. Maybe not this coat and tie as much. But I'm thankful for the shoes I wear and the house I live in and the cars I drive. I'm thankful for all those things. But can I tell you something? They all come and they all go away. The wealthiest men in history eventually died. Some of them even had tragic words at their death. They said, I've had money and fame, but I still feel empty. I'm simply saying today, it's the lasting things that you really will get excited about. Behold the blessings today, church. The lasting things like your children, your grandchildren, your wife, your husband. We take so many things for granted in America today. The death toll in the Bahamas continues to grow. Tragically, many, many were swept out to sea. Bodies have been found all the time. My friends have been contacting me every single day. Americans are going down there, and some of them, the church I preach at is going to be contacting me soon with a list of needs, and hopefully our church will be able to participate in that, as many other churches are. Can I tell you something? My friend Brother Norris, who I love like my own brother, every day still sends me verses. God's good. He sent me a song this morning to listen to through WhatsApp. He's still fired up. He's still pressing on. He's still grateful. He's posting things, telling people, we're going to make this. We're going to get better. We're not going to get bitter. Wow. You know why he's able to go through like that? Because he knows what lasting things mean. Lasting things. Number four, and I'm done. Where would we all be without love? The blessing of love. I'm not afraid to talk about love. I love the subject of love. I'm grateful for love. Love doesn't make me nervous or make me insecure. Psalm 103, verse 18, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and excel in strength that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So when you read these 22 chapters of this chapter here in Psalm 103, by the way, it's a psalm of David. It's a psalm of blessings. It's a psalm of benefits. It compels yourself to ask one question. God, why in the midst of all this do you still bless us? Why do you benefit us? Why do you help satisfy our mouths with good things? Why do you consistently give us mercy and compassion? Why do you remember that we are but dust? Why do you remember our frame? Why? And God echoes out one simple phrase throughout all eternity. Because I love you. Love is the theme of this book, especially the New Testament. And God reminds us on a regular basis how much he loves us. He reminds us of his unconditional love. And God is not just a talker, he's a walker. He doesn't just say it, he proves it, and he shows it time and time again. As a husband and a father, I strive to be a blessing to my family. And the main driving force is because I love my wife, and I love my children, and they love me back. And boy, love is a beautiful thing. I thank God for love. Love sure takes care of a lot of hate. It seems like everything God creates, the devil loves to imitate. God created light, the devil loves darkness, but thank God light is greater than darkness. God created joy, and the devil loves to create depression and discouragement and sadness, but thank God God's joy is greater. Your joy no man taketh from you. And thank God the devil loves hate. It's an instrument, it's a tool of his to cause people to hate each other just because of the color of their skin, just because that's how shallow we've gotten in America, just because of their backgrounds, and just because of this culture and that culture. But God, I thank God for love. Love brings us together. Love unites us. Love blesses us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's these three things: faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. What is God saying? God is saying love and love and love and love, and keep on loving. And when you think you're done loving, love one more time. Love. Love is a benefit that God has given to us, that we can use and lean on every single day of our life. Say I love you to somebody today, and don't be ashamed of it. Well, I wasn't brought up that way. You'd be all right. You'd be all right. I wasn't brought up with air conditioning in the car. We never had air conditioning in our car. How many of y'all remember that? I remember the days we used to make, my kids make fun of dogs. Now, that was me, out the window. Somebody say amen right there. Tongue flapping all over the place, trying to get some wind. Natural air conditioning is 65 miles an hour. It's better than the car standing still. Somebody help me right there. But when air conditioning came along, I obliged. I love that excuse of that. I didn't grow up that way. Always cracks me up. I didn't grow up that way. It's amazing how many changes we're willing to make if it makes us happy or makes us. See, we don't like to get uncomfortable sometimes. It makes saying I love you or acting like we love somebody makes us uncomfortable. You know what? You'll be all right. Say I love you. Show I love you. The most powerful being in the universe never shies away from reminding us that he loves us. Amen. Love. So the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Life, laughter, lasting, and love. I could stand up here all day, and so could many of you. We could pass the microphone around. But the next time someone sings, thank God you could hear that song. Next time the piano plays, thank God you can hear that. When you get up to walk out of the building today, thank God you're not riding in a wheelchair. When you get in car and drive, thank God you're not blind and you can actually have a driver's license. When you sit down to eat a meal, thank God, because a preacher friend of mine texted me this morning, a real dear friend of mine, he's got a rare disease where all of his muscles are starting to fail. He can't even swallow food right now. He said, Brother Randy, I didn't tell you this for a while, but I need to tell you now because I got to preach today and it's going to be hard. His vocal cords can't even contract like they should. So when you're eating a meal today, be thankful that you could chew and swallow. Even if you got false teeth, thank God for false teeth. Somebody say amen right there. I'm simply saying today, church, it's time to fight back complaining. It's time to not even give complaining a room in our in the hotel of our mind. Fill up all, they say to complaining there's no vacancy. We're going to fill it up with the good things, the benefits of God. Kick them out today. Throw them on the street. Throw out complaining. Throw out bitterness. Throw out strife. Throw out anger. Throw out discouragement. Throw them out. Kick them on the street. Why? Because God wants us to remember His benefits. His benefits. There's another verse that says He daily loadeth us with benefits. Look for those benefits. Be grateful for them. Let them change our lives. Head your bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well.
Of our praise, I stand in His presence amazed and crown Him with worship and praise. Holy is He, holy is He, holy is He. Roll back the curtain.
me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hand. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loves me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, remind me.